Okay, been thinking about vision a little bit. Now today we're going to talk about the question that's listed on this introductory slide. Why is a vision important? I've already said something about that in the previous section, but I'm going to say more today. Why is a vision important? Just a reminder, this is our definition of leadership, a vision for a preferable future. In other words, something future-oriented, something that we're passionate about, something that's going to draw people's attention and love and commitment to, that they're willing to sacrifice. And then that idea of just that vision then leading into activities and planning and prayer that bring about that vision into a reality. So that's the topic for today. I want to begin with a Bible verse. First of all, Proverbs 19, verse 29, verse 18. King James Version puts it this way: where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, since that was written back in the 1600s, a translation into English from the original Hebrew, there have been other discoveries that have improved our understanding of what the various Bible verses mean. And so later translations have changed this. Here's how the NIV put it: where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Now, that's a little bit different, isn't it? Because when you use the word vision, you're thinking about something forward, something that's calling us forward. And when you think of revelation, you think about something we just receive. And but where there is no revelation, and it's really in the context of looking ahead and calling you forward and God's will being told to you, the people cast off restraint. That this was reflected in other translations. Okay, here's the New American Standard Bible. Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. I like that one. I'll talk about that, what it means to be unrestrained, in a moment. And where there is no vision, the MLB, the people run wild. Now, how in the world do you interpret this passage? Well, where there's no vision, let's start there. In an organization, whether it's a church, a ministry organization, where there is no vision, things are going to gradually come apart. They're going to drift along, and decline will be the result. The second law of thermodynamics, which is a principle in physics, and the principle is simply this, that everything is given to decay. In other words, everything in the world is in this process of gradually slowing down, including like the turning of the earth on its axis, the expansion of the universe. All of those things are slowing down. That everything left to itself will gradually wear down. Where there is no vision, where there's nothing calling people forward, things are going to wear down. You can see this in churches all the time. They get to the point where they have no vision, so the people are doing all sorts of things. Maybe some of them are contributing to the betterment of the church, maybe not. But they have no idea what is really important because they just do what they're going to do. And after a while, the people who are eager for a vision, something that they can get behind, they're going to leave. A good friend of mine from years back was in a church that was just an interesting place. I'm going to tell the story in just a few moments. But the people for years there had no vision aside from their vision was to continue to exist. And as a result, the church was dying. Where there is no vision, the people, maybe not run wild, but the people are unrestrained. In other words, there's nothing that is calling the resources of that organization or that church to focus forward. One person put it this way, if you have a river, that river can be a powerful force. It can generate all sorts of electricity. But if it becomes unrestrained, if it goes over its banks, all of a sudden the flow slows way, way down. And the influence is spread all over the place. And there's not that focus that creates power. That's what we're talking about with vision. That's what this verse is about. Where there's no vision, or where there's no revelation about the future, where there's no call to the future, the focus will begin to drift away, and eventually the force of that ministry, that church, that organization will begin to wane. So that's the importance of a vision. Now, how in the world do we define visions? Anlie Stanley, in his book Visionary, says vision weaves four things into the fabric of our daily experience. What are those four things? Well, passion. Weaves passion together. People want to be passionate about something. Often they'll be passionate about something negative, about something they don't like. And one of the challenges in the United States is that the church has become known for what we're against, not for what we are for. And so when we define our vision, it's often a negative vision of what we want to accomplish negatively about getting this particular politician out of office or getting this particular thing in the community to change so that we can have political power again. That's not the way a vision should function. It should be something positive. It's an anticipated future that this is what we want to see happen. Secondly, it pulls you forward. It provides motivation for people. It provides individual motivation for your own vision, but it provides motivation for a group of people as well. When my children went to college, one of the things I said to them is, you know, you've got to think about what you want to become before you get in college. And so they all had to choose a career, at least tell me what it was. You know, as a father, I used to think I had the power to do that, but after a while, I figured out that they were just telling me to get me off their back. But anyway, they had to tell me what they were going toward. I said, because that's important to have a future you're aiming for, because that'll give you an impetus to keep moving forward. It'll give a defined purpose for the study that you do. It'll give a defined reason for spending all the money on the tuition that you're spending. And so my one daughter decided that she was going to become an occupational therapist, something that she had been called to, she felt, since she was age of 10 and saw occupational therapist at work on somebody from our church. And this 10-year-old girl was so impressed by that, she came home and said, that's what I'm going to do. And she tested that vision later on by following an occupational therapist around for a period of time and noting what they did, several different ones in different settings. And today she has a doctoral degree in occupational therapy, and she both practices and teaches in St. Louis, Missouri. My other daughter, her vision was to become a dietitian. At the time, she was going through a period of obsession with food, and so she wanted to know everything about diet. And then gradually that changed, and her passion changed. And she began to be involved in research. And she now today holds a PhD in biotechnology and is teaching at a college here in Michigan. My son just loved computers, but not just computers, but what they could do. And as a 15-year-old kid, he was hired by a person in our church to do several things. One was clean the parking lot on 5 o'clock on Saturday morning, where his business was located. But then go in, and he gradually began helping with some of the computer work and did computer repair, consulting. But then what pulled him forward when he got into college was the fact that he wanted to be an electrical engineer. He had seen all the things that an electrical engineer could be involved in and said, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to be part of. And today, he works for Boeing as an electrical engineer in planning and in the research department there. Now, the point is that, you know, when you're in a situation, what's going to pull you forward? What's going to give your organization a reason to exist? That provides a purpose that helps define, yes, this is where we want to go. And people are willing to give their resources and money, give their resources and time, give their resources and passion. So passion and motivation, direction. I put in parentheses there, selling equipment. And that's because this comes from Andy Stanley's book, Visioneering, and he tells the story of refining his purpose. He said one of the things he thought he might be doing with his life is being a musician. And so he had just a room full of musician equipment and guitars and instruments and that sort of thing. He said, but then his first child was born. And he began to realize that as he was getting more leadership opportunities, that wasn't where his purpose was in these instruments. And so he said, I had no problem selling them all, except for a guitar that he kept to play. But he said, I had no problem because I realized that I had a direction for my life now. And the direction was twofold. One, I was going to be a leader in God's kingdom, first of all. And then secondly, I was going to be a parent of this incredible human being that is born. And so it gave direction, gave him reason to get up in the morning, gave him, a vision of a preferable future that didn't leave his life unrestrained, but gave it focus, flowed the resources toward the reality of that vision. So, it weaves those four things together. Now, here's where we have to make some adjustments and understandings. One is there's a difference between a mission and a vision statement. And here's how I'm going to do the definitions, and then we're going to work through how that works out. A mission statement defines the present state or purpose of an organization. It answers three questions of why the organization exists. Why, what it does is question number one. Who it does it for, question number two. And how it does what it does. That's what a mission statement does. A present state, a present reality. Now, a vision statement, on the other hand, defines a future state. What the organization wants to accomplish over time, and that time period can be 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. And it gives guidance to long-range planning, and it functions, as we've been talking about, as the North Star. And usually, you know, this is a vision statement, it's succinct and inspirational. In other words, it taps into the emotions, it taps into the feelings. So that's part of it. Now here, this is small because I wanted to fit it on one slide. I'm sorry if you're going to have to look closely to see what it says, but just the contrast between the two. First of all, about. A mission statement talks about how you will get to where you want to be. Defines the purpose and primary objectives related to your customer needs and team values. In the church setting, the customer, of course, is God's people, it's God's kingdom. The vision statement outlines where you want to be. It communicates both the purpose and values of your business. Now, the answer, what does it answer? The mission statement answers the question, what do we do? What makes us different? The vision statement answers, where do we aim to be as a group of people? In regard to time, a mission statement talks about the present, leading to its future, and a vision statement talks about the future. In their function, the mission statement lists the broad goals for which the organization is formed. Its prime function is internal, to define the key measures of the organization's success, and its prime audience is the leadership team and its stockholders. The vision statement lists where you see yourself some years from now. It inspires you to give your best. It shapes your understanding of why you are working here. Change. Mission statement may change, but it should still tie back to your core values, customer needs, and vision. The vision statement, as your organization evolves, you might feel tempted to change your vision. However, mission or vision statements explain your organization's foundation. So change should be kept to a minimum, but they do change. We'll get into that. Developing a statement. For a mission statement, you ask questions like, for what do we do today? For whom do we do it? What is the benefit? In other words, why do we do what we do? What, for whom, and why? The vision statement develops a statement of where do we want to be going forward? When do we want to reach that stage? How do we want to do it? And then the features of an effective statement. For a mission statement, the purpose and values of the organization, who are the organization's primary clients or stakeholders? What are the responsibilities of the organization toward the clients? Whereas the features of an effective vision statement give clarity and lack of ambiguity. They describe a bright future that creates hope, memorable, engaging expression, realistic aspirations, achievable goals, and alignment with organization values and cultures. Wow, that's a mouthful of stuff. But I hope you get a little bit of the concept of the fact that they're different. A mission statement describes who we are and what we are doing and what that looks like today. And the vision statement says, here's where we're going. This is who we are today, but here's where we're going in the future. This is our values, this is our culture, this is what we believe is going to be, but this is what's going to change as we live out the vision that God has given us. So now we're just going to look at some vision statements and just, you know, try to judge them in some way, shape, or form. Okay, remember that they have to answer three questions. A mission statement has to answer three questions. What does the organization do? Who does it do it for? And how do they do it? Okay, so here's the Reformed Church in America, denominational statement, which is off their website. Now, I'm not part of that denomination myself, but I know many people in it, and so I know this is done with a great deal of care and concern. Here's their mission. The Reformed Church in America is a fellowship of congregations called by God and empowered by the Holy Spirit to be the very presence of Jesus Christ in the world. Our shared task is to equip congregations for ministry, 1,000 churches in 1,000,000 ways doing one thing, following Christ in mission in a lost and broken world so loved by God. Okay, the three questions. What do they do? What do they do? Well, they are trying to be the presence of Jesus Christ in the world. That's what they do. In a lost and broken world so loved by God. They're part of Christ's mission. Who does it? Well, it's 1,000 congregations, 1,000 churches, in 1,000,000 ways, doing the same thing. And what do? Well, they equip congregations. That's what this denomination does. That's what they're trying to do. They're going to equip those congregations for their work. So what do? How do they do it? Well, for whom? And how do they do it? So, let's look at some more. People's Church. This is in Lansing, Michigan. And I found this online, a group of just, I put in mission statements for churches. And so I found a whole list of them. There's a bunch of them. You can do that sometime. But what they did is they had a group of people who were grading these. And so we're going to look at a statement, and then we'll look at the grade afterwards as after we answer the three questions. So People's Church is called to proclaim the gospel of Christ and the beliefs of the evangelical Christian faith, to maintain the worship of God and to inspire in all persons a love for Christ, a passion for righteousness, and a consciousness of their duties to God and their fellow human beings. We pledge our lives to Christ in covenant with each other to demonstrate His Spirit through worship, witnessing, and ministry to the needs of the people of this church and community. So, what do? Well, they proclaim the gospel, right? They maintain worship. They're trying to inspire a love for Christ. They are worshiping, witnessing, ministering to the needs of the people in this community. For whom do they do it? Well, the people of this church and community. And then thirdly, how do they do it? Well, they're maintaining worship of God and inspiring all persons a love for Christ, a passion for righteousness, and consciousness of their duties to God, etc. That's their mission statement. Now, the group that was grading this on a scale of 1 to 4 gave them a 2.9. It's a little wordy. It's not very memorable. It's not something you can tie down to, yep, this is what this church, this is what we are about. And so I don't think it's a really great mission statement. I would have given it probably a 2. Seeds of Hope is a ministry. I think it's in Mississippi or Missouri. Anyway, this is a long mission statement. The mission of Seeds of Hope is to sow the seed of hope, Jesus Christ, in the hearts of many in Bloomfield, Pittsburgh. That's where it is. And to the ends of the earth. Our context is the emerging postmodern culture. Postmoderns have rejected the trinity of modernism, reason, nature, and progress, and the church that is built on it. Lacking a meta-narrative, postmoderns turn to a sort of primitive tribalism or bury their pain in technology or consumerism. Our mission involves creating a church that can be a safe gathering place for postmodern people to come, experience the grace and forgiveness of God, a family of believers where they can find healing for the things that have hurt and wounded their souls, where they can belong to believe, that is, where they can be nurtured and discipled into faith in the one true God and in Jesus Christ whom He has sent. Okay, what do they do? Well, they're sowing the seeds of hope, Jesus Christ. For whom do they do it? Postmoderns. How do they do it? Well, there's a lot of language about that, but what they're doing is creating a church that will be a safe place for postmoderns to ask their questions, basically. A very wordy, how did the group evaluate it? It said 2.0, not very high. It said it's not very engaging. It's accurate, but it's way too wordy. It has to have too much explanation, and so they graded it a 2.0. That's about where I'd put it. Journey Church in Fairbanks, Alaska. To connect people to Jesus Christ and to each other. That's their mission statement. Now, that's very simple. What do? Well, they connect people to Jesus Christ and to each other. For whom do they do it? Well, that's anybody, I guess, in Fairbanks, Alaska. And how do they go about it? That's not stated. Doesn't say, you know, whether they're calling people out. Now, it's interesting, the group grading this gave them a 4 out of 4. I think it should have been more like a 3 or 2.5, 2.8, something like that, because it doesn't define, you know, how do they go about doing it. Murray Temple in Anniston, Alabama. God has called this congregation to courageously represent the kingdom of God through witness, discipleship, and service to others. We take seriously the scriptures, prayer, and the call to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly before God. God is preparing us through prophetic preaching and teaching to bring the hope of the gospel to our community and to take every thought captive to Christ. What do? They represent the kingdom of God. For whom? Doesn't really say, except that we're going to bring the hope of gospel to our community. So it's for that community in which they live in Murray Temple in Anniston, Alabama. How do they do it? Well, witness, discipleship, and service to others. So it's a fairly well done one, 3.5. Now, I'm going to take a risk here and share those from my church. Our statement was to help each other take the next step in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And there's a tagline which is not here. This is what we put out there for people, that it's very well chosen wording for this. But the tagline is gathering, growing, and going. In other words, we're to gather together. We are to grow. So we gather in worship. We gather in small groups. We gather for service, outreach, mission. We gather. We grow in our understanding of Jesus Christ. And then we go to the community in the name of Jesus. Okay, so what does it do? Well, we help each other take the next step. And so what does that mean? Well, here's what it means. We've been using the Reveal Insights from Willow Creek Church for the past about 10 years now. And they have 4 steps. That there's exploring Christ is the first step. That some people who come in are exploring Christ. And we know that that's about 10% of the people who attend worship at our church. So 10% are exploring Christ. So we want them to take that bridge of coming to step number 2. Growing in Christ. And this is a time when people are beginning to read the Bible and beginning to understand prayer and beginning to apply it to their life. And we want them to take a next step, which is close to Christ. And that is enjoying Christ's presence, that they realize that God is somebody that you turn to every day, many times a day, because you can't live life without Him. And then the last step is being Christ-centered. And each of those boxes, you know, if you get time with this, you can look at each of those boxes and define the how of the step. But so what does it mean? What we do is we help each other take the next step in our relationship with Jesus Christ. So we're on that continuum of trying to help each other move toward Christ-centered living. Who is it for? Well, it's for each other. Now, we at one point said unbelievers when we were working on this and decided that we were going to use the words each other, because otherwise it made us feel like, well, we're up here, you know. Those of us who are in leadership, those of us who are further along on that continuum, we're up here and we're going to help those poor people down there. And instead we wanted it to be a congregational kind of experience. It's for all of us. It's for all of us here within the congregation, including those who are coming in from the community as we go out into the community and they come. And how do we do it? Well, we do it by gathering, by growing, by going. Now, those elements are going to be part of a mission statement probably wherever you go. That idea of who do I go to? How do I get there? For whom are we doing this? Well, creating a mission statement will include those kind of elements. As I shared previously, I attended a church in which they read their mission statement every week, which was to, you know, introduce people to Jesus Christ so they become members of His family, equip them or train them to be disciples, teach them so that they become more and more like Jesus Christ, and equip them to go out and do Christ's work in the world. It's memorable. Got it. It's simple. Those are the kind of mission statements that will help you move on to vision statements. Now, in the literature about leadership, there'll be discussions about which you should form first. Should you form the vision statement first or the mission statement first? I've always just done the mission statement first because I find it helpful to define who we are at present before we talk about who we're going to become. And so, just know that mission statements have power if they're written well, if they are a part of the consciousness of people that define who are we at present. It'll become part of the identity. And so as we've talked about, this is to represent the culture here. This is, you know, who are we? And that defines how we do things now. So this is all related. Next time we're going to get more into the idea of vision and how do you write a vision statement? How do you engage that passion towards something of the future? Launching from what you have in the present. So I hope that's helpful. We'll see you next time.